IB English Radio.
قرآن كويست يس بليز.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركة.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program where we study the verses of the Quran with our dear, beloved, energetic Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, brother Habib.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Okay, so we are on chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, verse 41. We've been talking about Abraham's father and the lessons that we can obtain from these verses. Let's listen to these verses and we'll be back for our discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إنا نحن نرث الأرض ومن عليها وإلينا يرجعون.
Indeed, it is we who will inherit the earth and whoever is on it, and to us they will be returned. And mention in the book the story of Abraham. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet. Mentioned when he said to his father, O my father, why do you worship that which does not hear and does not see and will not benefit you at all? O my father, indeed there has come to me of knowledge that which has not come to you. So follow me, I will guide you to an even path.
Ya abati la ta'budi shaytana inna shaytana kana lirrahman. عصيا.
O my father, do not worship Satan. Indeed, Satan has ever been to the most merciful, disobedient.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 41 to 44 of chapter 19, chapter Mary from the Holy Quran. So last session we were talking about how the most important attribute that caught people's attention and respect, the most important attribute of Abraham was his honesty. He was at such a level of honesty where his actions affirmed his claims, so it did not contradict his claims. On verse 42, Abraham says to his father, when he said to his father, "Father, why do you worship that which neither hears nor sees and is of no avail to you in any way?" So Abraham is talking about idols. The first question I would like to ask is, did they consider these idols as gods or representative of gods or beings that were so powerful that they needed their approval?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There are some who believe that these are these things that created
actual gods.
Yeah, but there are very few. Others state that no, they are the connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that God created us and made these as representatives. So we must worship them, thus we are worshiping Allah. Others state that pretty much they don't have that in their mind, who is Allah, who is God. They're just worshipping. And anyway, the important thing here is that what they abadu, they have one thing in common, that is worshipping these things.
And what does it mean to worship?
Worshipping, it's to, they have this precise term and definition for it in Ilm al-Kalam, and it's pretty much to obey while believing that that person has the right or is the all-powerful, almighty thing that pretty much controls you. You're a servant of. That's the idea of worshiping. You're a slave, you're a servant, and you're obeying because he has higher rank to you, or that thing has higher rank than you and is controllable over you.
And that person is also powerful than God, because there are a lot of people who now believe in algorithms nowadays.
That's believing in mud.
Yes, the material.
Material. That's something that we will talk about. وَمَا يَهْلِكْنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. Because polytheism and worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shirk pretty much had a general, was talked to as a general thing. It wasn't talked to as a precise, this team, or this sect, or that sect. There was a general shirk, right? And most of them were idol worshippers. Some of them, yeah, were like the dahar believers, that we live, and then we die. And we are following like causes. Mm-hmm. We are material.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break now. After the break, we'll talk more about this before moving on. Stay tuned.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, he's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 42 of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. We're talking about what it means to worship. If in our community a person is cares more about things like wealth and fame, are they being involved in a sort of polytheism or a sort of idol worshipping?
We have this idea that, for example, al-riya al-shirk al-khafi, showing off, or you know, showing off your prayers and your worships is something as considered as shirk. The reason behind it is because why you're praying, for example, or why are you giving this sadaq, why are you doing this deed? You are actually obeying what people think. You're not obeying that person as well. You're obeying what that person thinks. The reason that you are, for example, fasting, the reason that you are staying away from prohibited actions, is actually because you're afraid of that person, for example. To that point, the only reason why I'm not doing this action, I'm not drinking, I'm not eating what is haram, I'm not stealing, is because I'm afraid that this person will punish me. Thus, I am following them. As a true believer, as a Muslim, you do these actions, you stay away from these from certain actions, for the sole purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering you to. Now, of course, sometimes you do it as well, and you say, for example, I'm staying away from doing this, and also not to hurt myself. Also, for example, that my parents will be happy with me. But there is that I am doing it. The main reason I am doing it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me to. That's that idea of worshiping others.
The main pillar.
Yeah.
So for instance, a friend of mine said that I would pray every day, but sometimes I might want someone to see me praying so that he would say, wow, this is such a good guy. But even if he wouldn't see it, I would still pray. That is not...
Yeah, even we have that in Minhaj al-Salihin, even the fuqaha, the scholars have this claim that you're praying, and if someone sees you, then it's not considered then riya. Mm-hmm. It's not considered riya. And other than that, of course, it's better to stay away from it. Of course, it is better to stay away from it, but is your prayers considered invalid? No. Going to your question, worshipping money. Yeah, there are some people who are actually worshipping money, even though they claim they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may be Muslims with the shahada, for example, but when you truly look at their soul, of course, this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are they really worshipping Allah, or are they doing it for their fame, worshipping their own fame? They want people to follow them. They want, for example, more money. So it depends. Like, are they mustaqileen, or those who eat and drink by, you know, scapegoating? I don't know how to put it in a better sentence.
But what is mustaqileen?
Mustaqil istakhdam, yani, da'aya yisawu. What's a good da'aya?
Are they consumers of religion,
yeah,
or followers,
exactly,
of religion?
Exactly. There's like this mustaqil idea concept, or consumer of religion. The only reason they are following a religion is because they want to gain their own needs and desires. And the only reason they worship and follow and cry and do whatever they do is because they want people to follow them.
They want to gain.
Be,
yeah,
they want their own purposes.
Fame in society and whatnot.
So yeah, it's not far
it's
away
possible.
That people, yeah, they worship themselves. That's really a mystic, you know, it's like a mystic concept to this verse.
Okay, after the break, we're going to talk about some of the doubts that are raised based on such verses. Let's talk about those and after the break, so don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 42 of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. So we said that when the idol worshippers are worshipping their idols, some of them consider the idols as representatives of gods. Now, some of our Sunni brothers also think that the Shia are doing the same thing when they visit the shrines of their imams, considering them to be representatives of God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this true? And if not, how is it different to what the idols or idol worshippers are practicing?
We're not worshipping anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just put that out there. And if we go, for example, to the graves, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these graves. Tawassul. So at the end of the day, the Imam alayhim as-salam, these graves, not only the Imam alayhim as-salam, we might go to the graves of the ulama as well. And it's well known here in Qom that you go and ask, for example, you go recite the Fatiha on the grave of Sahib al-Qawaneen al-Mirza al-Qummi. Something that you ask, it's something well known. There are many stories about, there's this book called The Fawadar al-Dawiyya. Let me just give it out to you, Hussein, right? And in it, he states that they state where the graves are of these ulama. And people go to the graves, you know, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِحَقِّ هَذَا الشَّخَصِ. Like, this person has a right, this person is a good person. I swear to you, Allah, by this,
for this person.
Yeah, for this person. Also, we also have in the sayings that when you go to the grave, ask your father and your mother for your dua, for their dua, their supplication,
for
their blessings. You go to the graves and you ask your parents to pray for you. That's what we're doing with the imma, alayhim as-salam. And we have that in the Tawqi' al-Naih al-Muqaddasa, Sahib al-Zaman, alayhi as-salam, where he states that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he accepts our supplications, he accepted it. If he didn't accept it, he's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So when we're asking our imams for a favor, can the imams grant that favor without having to go through God subhanahu wa ta'ala?
This is something, at the end of the day, bi'idhnillah.
It's with God's permission.
At the end of the day, it's with God's permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give some powers to even, you know, people after their death. They have the capability of bringing, of doing things.
But that doesn't, that's but a spiritual not independent thing. Of God.
It's not independent of God. There's no way of being independent of God. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. But how you explain it differs. There are many different mystics who, you know, have different theories about it. That's something else. And we will reach it. We will talk about it, inshallah ta'ala, in different verses.
Inshallah.
So, in summary, to summarize this, we're not worshipping anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go to the grave, we're not worshipping the grave. The idol worshippers would believe that they are powerful. They are like how do I say it?
بِعَرْضِ اللَّهِ. Oh, they are equal to God.
They are equal to God. They can do it by themselves. If God wants something and they want something else, they might fight between each other.
Power.
That's their beliefs. And at the end of the day, this is just a rock. It's just a rock. It was just dates. Some people, there's this poem I remember reading that he got hungry, so he ate his God that he used to worship because it was made out of dates.
Well, that's a very close relationship with one.
Yes, they have become one now.
They have become one now. Okay, thanks very much, Brother Habib. Today we talked about idol worshippers, what it means to worship things other than God, the danger of getting, the danger of actually being followers of fame and wealth rather than God subhanahu wa ta'ala, becoming a consumer of religion rather than an adherent to religion, a follower of religion. And finally, we talked about the doubt that is raised about the Shia visiting graves and praying there. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. If our wonderful audience missed this episode, no worries. You can always download an archive of this episode and our previous ones from our website. Simply visit IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next episode, from me and the whole team here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Stefan Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and a Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multipurpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the space station assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yisa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yisa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild. A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries, it consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the calves will stay with the facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies. A French musician helps patients in an end-of-life care home to escape from pain by playing the cello for them. Let's have a listen.
Music soothes pain as music eases their symptoms. In palliative care, in end-of-life care, there is sometimes still pain in spite of the morphine, in spite of the drugs that really help manage the pain of the patients. They still feel pain, and music really has a calming power on the residual pain of palliative care patients.
The sound of Claire Oppert's solo cello resonates through the rooms of Jean Garnier End-of-Life Care Home in southern Paris on Fridays. She plays for patients who suffer from physical pain as well as terminal illnesses. The center's staff say music lightens patients' moods and puts them in a calm state.
After Claire leaves the room, we find the patients in a calm state, at times moved, at times happy. A lot happens. There are moments of tears, moments of joy. When we go into the room, we find there is an encounter with the person and his or her story.
I'm in permanent pain. The music helps a little to escape from the pain, I think. You pay attention to the music, and if it's a piece you know, you anticipate the next note. There you go, it's like that.
Claire has been playing the cello for patients in end-of-life care for almost a decade. She says the fact that music makes people feel good has been known since the beginning of humanity, but today it needs to be proven scientifically. Therefore, she has made it her mission to demonstrate the therapeutic effects of music on patients by taking medical studies.
A Russian zoo is delighted to welcome a new resident, a rare snow white wallaby. The cute Joey named Elisa was born at Regina Zoo in the southwestern city of Kazan. Zookeepers say she is healthy, playful, and has won the visitors' attention. Interestingly enough, Elisa's brother Alec was born with normal pigmentation. Wallabies are members of the kangaroo family. The albino wallaby, which has no skin pigmentation and pink eyes, is believed to be extremely rare.
This man changed the world.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and of course, as I say, who changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini. May God be pleased with him. And of course, we have been discussing in the last three programs different aspects of his personality. We've been looking at the sources as to what formed those characteristics, those virtues in this great personality, and how he has shaped not only the events, the historic and epic events in what happened in the Islamic Republic and the formation of the Islamic Republic. Of course, these are separate issues that need to be discussed later on at length as to the actual events of what of the Islamic revolution that took place here. But of course, Imam himself said that this is an Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution means that this is a complete reformation of our understanding of not only the religion of Islam, but our understanding of God. And it was not only for Muslims, but it was for non-Muslims as well and for the people of the book. And we are going to look into aspects in this program about the Imam, which defined his divine characteristics. And, you know, we've discussed with our guest, Dr. Husni, on this program about simplicity, virtues of honesty, and looking at purity of intention and will and determination. And we also talked about this divine courage, which stems from faith. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Husni again to the program to help me discuss these wonderful attributes of the Imam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for being on the program. Dr. Husni, take us a little bit further now on this aspect of purity of intention, sincerity, something I think lacking, something that's pretty much lacking in most Muslim societies, this concept of sincerity. I mean, there's a big aspect to this, and you could see that sincerity in the Imam, in Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, immediately. I mean, it was not something that, you know, you needed to, as in the words of this journalist who wrote this book, My Beautiful Experience, I'm talking about this man, Robin Woodrose, he says that, you know, I came to, like most journalists do, they came to our country to find out who's the leader and to do a bit of research on the man to find out what is his weaknesses, what are his strengths, what are his characteristics. But he says, I didn't need to do any of that. I just looked at him and my questions were answered. Is that the purity of sincerity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Good subject. We need to think about it again and try to talk about it as simple as
we
possible.
Can. Yeah. As you say, without clouding the issue.
Right.
Yeah.
On the issue of purity of intention, again, goes back to the definition. If you know who you are, if you know your limit, I should put it this way. If you know your limit, that the real source belongs to him.
Quite.
It comes from him. And let's not forget, it goes back to him.
Yes.
If you pollute the source, okay, the pollution has a price to pay back. This is what, when you talk about sin here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is only a beginning. Purity of intention, you know to have your limit, who happens to be your creator, God Almighty. We talked about this before.
Sure.
But we're trying to get some other points at the same time.
Yes, yes.
If you know your limit, then you think about, you should think about the source. Source is pure. What does it mean? It means when his knowledge, let's get serious about this and simple at the same time.
Sure.
The creator knows what he created, what kind of capacity, what kind of feelings, what kind of different dimensions of the being he created.
Yes.
Therefore, he has a prescription, a true one, a right one for every single different situation.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, sometimes I think about life as a conditional statement. I have to explain what I mean by
that. Yeah, please do. Please.
You know, think about a keyboard on a computer.
Yeah.
Every button you touch, something will happen. Mm-hmm. If you touch delete, what happens?
Well,
it deletes.
Yeah, it deletes.
All the information is gone.
All the information is gone.
Can you bring it back?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's gone.
It's gone.
This is what I mean by polluting. If you don't know the action of one particular button, what would you do? What are you supposed to do? You should ask.
Yeah.
You should read the manual.
Exactly. The manual that we
were discussing. The manual that we were talking about.
Remember the last
Quran is a manual, a complete one. A complete manual for all human beings for their own direction.
For their perfection.
For their perfection.
And salvation.
And salvation.
Yeah.
Which we call guidance.
Yes, yes.
The guidance of Allah comes through, it's written within the manual, which is Quran.
Yes.
Purity of intention, it means that you are limited. Therefore, you cannot do things that later on you're going to face difficulties.
Yes.
When you are not pure, with your, when you don't think about purity in this sense, you're going to lie.
Yes. And it's easy for you.
And it's very easy at the time.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, with the least cost.
Yes.
With the least expenses.
Yes.
You can get away with it.
Now, let me throw in something into the works here, because what we are talking about here is something very, very significant about the Imam's personality. And what I want to get to is this. You just mentioned the fact that if you're coming from a polluted source, it's very easy to lie. And wasn't politics...
And you know,
please let me finish this point. The politicians of the West, because they're coming from a polluted source... In other words, they're taking their politics from Machiavelli, the source being the concepts of politics or the understanding of the science of politics.
And when you can justify everything.
And justify everything, even though you're lying.
And you know it, you're lying.
And you know you're lying, and you're caught. This is what happens to these politicians, isn't it?
You get caught red-handed.
Yeah, you get these scandals, don't you, that, you know, after a certain period in power, whatever speech they've said at that particular time, some journalist who has done his research finds out that you said something quite the contrary to
that.
And
they bring it out.
And they bring it out.
On the check and balance system.
Right. And that they're caught, and then the reputation goes out of the window.
Which
then,
they don't care.
Which, yeah, it's exactly. They're shameless. That's true. That's another issue. But what I'm coming to about the Imam is, and certainly what Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, which we were discussing, because he's coming from a pure source.
The reason I say they don't care, because the next subject we're going to talk about, you should ask me about the sincerity.
Yes, yes.
The connection between sincerity and purity.
We've introduced the idea, right. But because of the purity of his intention, and we want to go into the fact that he was practicing this purity of intention through his five-time prayer, because it's been recorded that he never, ever missed his prayer on time. Because remember, he points this out to us.
Mm-hmm.
He says that to us over and over again. Do this on time. Because this qualifies you to come into that scope of sincerity, simplicity, honesty, and purity of intention. Because it shows that you have complete faith and love to do something for your Creator as he's asked you to obey him. But at the end of the day, Imam Khomeini was, may God bless his soul, never changed his argument, even before he wasn't known as Imam, and even after the revolution.
It wasn't even debatable for him.
It wasn't debatable. Why was it that the people in Washington and Moscow were so certain and so afraid that whatever the Imam says now, that's it. That's final. Doesn't that come out of purity
of intention?
Brother,
in the ecosystem of life, I should call it, in the ecosystem of life, if you're polluting your surroundings, you're not going to survive.
No, you won't.
As simple as that.
Yeah. But this is why he stands...
That's why he cared about his time of praying and everything else.
Yes. Because what I'm saying is...
But if you think about this in a different way, sooner or later you're going to find some particular instance that it might be questionable for you. Like Imam did something... You cannot reason it in your own mind. There's nobody to ask about it. Okay? Then it becomes a contradiction with beliefs. Because we talk about beliefs here now.
Yes, quite.
I don't know if I made my point.
No, you have. Made your point, yes.
If in the ecosystem of life, you know you are pure. You're in the fountain of purity. Okay? This is the word. This is actually the philosophy behind salavat. The salutation of God upon his holy prophet.
Yes.
Which we do. Something we cannot do. Only we ask God,
God to do for us.
Allahumma salli.
Yes.
It means we are not able.
We're not
you
able.
You do it for us.
You do it
with
for us.
With the help of you, we get, brother, with the help of God, we get under that purified fountain of mercy.
Quite.
This is the beauty of understanding of Quranic and Islamic teaching, which is one thing. Okay? Purity of intention. Because of that, he always knows where he's coming from. Again, back to, this is not tradition that you forget and you cannot applicate different situation to it. No, it is applicable. One particular understanding, true understanding of Quranic teaching can take you forever.
Exactly.
From A to B.
Exactly.
To the completion and also to the right destination without any damage.
Imam Khomeini, as we are saying right now, God bless his soul, This sincerity of intention brings him to the point of truth. And it is truth that he wants to get across
and
to the people.
And it is truth and truthness that can take you to the sincerity.
Exactly.
When you do care, this is the only way.
Well, what I wanted to get to was the fact that this truth is not something new in terms of the fact of what, may God bless his great soul, what he did. But because he's coming from the household of those who are known as the truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to take people back.
That is important. Yes.
Yeah, I want to take people back to that point where the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had to get his message, the truth of his prophethood, across to the people of the book. Now, let's put this in context here. Let's face it, Washington and Moscow, although Moscow was following an atheistic ism called communism.
All the isms.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But basically, they come from the tradition of being followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They are the people of the book.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, I want to take them back to this mobala, this challenge, this mutual cursing, they call it in
this
Arabic.
This argument, yes.
Yeah. This is a very important because this was where this purity of intention must work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the whole message is going to fail.
It's gone.
The people at that time, the Christians of that time, doubted the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They doubted this revelation that was coming. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was the final prophet.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that was like an aberration. The Holy Prophet The Holy Prophet says to the people of Medina that this is a day on which only the truthful will go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to ask and pray to Allah that if the whichever party is telling the lies or is being false or coming from a contaminated source as we are talking about, remove them from this earth. But we all know what happened in the end. But at the same time, this is where the imam's function is so important, that the tradition, the source that he's coming from, in which this purity of intention and truth has to be reflected to those who still cast doubt and dispersion on Islam. So, isn't that important in terms
on the issue of purity of intention and sincerity, they go together again.
Yes.
Just like horse and carriage.
Yes.
I give you another example with regard to this important thing. You are in a caravan. You're traveling.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm.
You need a guide. You are going to, from A to B.
Yeah.
You are going to get to the destination.
Yeah. You need a map.
Without being robbed, without being killed,
yes,
murdered on the way,
yeah,
you need a guide as a caravan leader, okay, to take you to destination.
Yeah.
Let's suppose, which is a correct one in this assumption, on this assumption, the assumption is this. From A to B, okay, it's a long way from here to hereafter.
Yes.
It's a long way. It's so many different stops.
Yeah.
So many different stop points. Stations, I should say.
Sure.
A guide can take you, let's say his limit, his life is limit.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. Let's say this long distance journey, trip, whatever. Mm. The guide can take you from A in order to get you to the B. There is some other small points and a station on the way. He takes it to a certain point. He says, look, my time is over. For whatever reason, okay, my time is over. But from here to another station,
yes,
to another manzil, to another point, this so-and-so is going to take you. Because you hired me, listen to this, you hired me to take me to B, to the destination, to the final destination.
Sure.
But here, this is part of my service to you.
Yes.
I don't do it all the way. Because of whatever, for the sake of argument, if we say 10,000 of kilometers, it is just, you know, mere talk.
Yes.
But you talk about from here to hereafter is a long way.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And you need a guide. So from here, Mr. So-and-so is going to take you.
Yeah.
And from that particular point, somebody else is going to be in charge.
Sure.
Is it possible to say, let's say Jesus, peace be upon him, the holy prophet of God, who happens to be, remember what we said in the previous program?
Sure.
Who happens to be Abd.
Yes, a servant.
Submitted, total submission to God.
Quite.
He only says what God told him. You know why they killed prophets?
They didn't like the message.
They didn't like the message. Hey, don't kill me.
They didn't like the destination they were being sent to.
Don't know the expression. Hey, don't kill me. I'm only a messenger.
No, I'm only the messenger.
You know why? Because you cannot kill, brother, you cannot kill the message.
You can't kill the messenger.
Therefore, you kill the messenger.
You kill the
messenger. You think in your own limited wrong thinking, you think by getting rid of the prophets, you don't have to listen to the rest
of it.
Hey, do this, do that, because... In the manual is bunch of conditions, a bunch of statements, a bunch of doings and not doings.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Do this, don't do that. A religion that doesn't tell you, let me tell you this, because, while we're on the subject.
Yeah, sure, why not?
A religion that doesn't tell you what to do, everybody loves that. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why Christianity nowadays, okay? I mean, on the surface, you look at it, look. All I do whatever I please during the day. At the end of day, I go, we're not on TV to show.
Yeah.
You do the cross.
Yeah.
I say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yeah. And that's it. Do confession.
And you confession.
Yeah.
You go to a priest, you confess. This is a totally different subject.
Yes.
But back to what? Because we're talking about sincerity.
Yes.
The purity of intention.
Mm.
If you are pure, if you are purified in the set of your thinking, and you're trying to be sincere about following one particular guide or leader, which you're supposed to.
Yes.
After, is it possible that Jesus, peace be upon him, did not tell the caravan? Listen to me.
Yes, right.
Didn't tell the caravan that from now on, okay? Mm. Because you talk about how many years?
570.
500 some years, okay? The next leader supposed, and he did. Mm. And Jesus, peace be upon him, introduced the next leader or the next guide, which we believe that is the Prophet of Islam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
Dr. Hussain, I think it's worth you mentioning that ayah from the Quran that starts from Hazrat Adam, that I created this man as a representative of myself on earth, that this is in the Arabic language a continuous system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that was the earth is absent of.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I didn't finish the point.
Yeah,
yet.
Yeah, but please finish that.
The finishing point is this.
Mm.
Okay? If we're here, we're just talking about what common sense
says. Yes.
Okay, the purity. If you are purified, that means you are connected to the source.
Yes.
Therefore your intention is good. Your intention is okay. It can provide you all the good things.
Yes.
Because you are connecting to the real source.
Sure.
Therefore, you are sincere because you don't have to lie.
Mm.
And because you truly want to go from A to B without any damage.
Sure.
So on the way, you listen to whoever the guy tells you. You know, my argument is this.
Mm.
If you are sincere, you are see yourself limitless. You are see yourself powerful because you are connected to the source.
Exactly.
And if you are abandoned in the middle of the way, you're not going to get nowhere.
No, you'll be lost.
The point is this, like it or not, we can, sit here and argue forever.
Mm.
But we're not trying to, waste our time.
Mm.
Because any argument has to have an aim, a goal. We're trying to reach a point of learning about the truth. You know what truth is? In Arabic, they call it haq.
Haq, yes.
The mere translation, brother, for haq is something constant.
Something stable.
Something is stable.
Mm.
Something you can count on.
On. Yes.
Something you can count on. Quite. Let's talk simple.
Quite.
Okay? You can count on Allah because He has the power.
Yes.
He has the knowledge.
Mm.
He's wise.
Mm.
Okay? And He doesn't do anything baseless.
Yes.
Without any goal, without any aim.
And the point being here that the guidance, this spirituality, this purity of intention and truth lies with some special people.
Exactly. Now back to the
putting
issue
it
of
into
Imam Khomeini.
Khomeini, because we have to put it into that context.
He was pure.
Yes.
Because he was connected to the source.
Exactly.
And sources, brother, another argument.
Yes.
Another debate.
Yes.
Source is not too many.
No.
It's not so many. It's only one.
One.
Because
the principle of Tawheed.
You know, there is a verse in Quran.
Mm.
If there was two gods, most surely you would see the corruption.
Yeah.
Because every god, you know.
Yes.
The assumption is this.
Yes.
God is limitless.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
God is powerful, and God does whatever he wants.
Mm.
Okay. Imagine two gods.
Mm.
He wants to go this way. The other one wants to go that way. That's corruption.
Yeah.
Corruption in true sense.
Mm.
We're talking about. We're not talking about corruption. It means something that is not. It's supposed to be on the place and is not.
Let me put it this way, Doctor.
And the place is the source.
Yeah, let me put it this way, Dr. Hasni, that the main thing is, it's not even a question of us even debating the fact that there is one or two gods. The problem is our thinking, our imagination of what we think.
The
daydreaming of what we think is our existence.
Exactly.
That is the problem, because at the end of the day...
This is a serious problem for humankind through the history.
Because what I want to get to is the fact that it's not the fact that people don't believe in God. Everybody believes in God.
But you have to
prove
it with your actions.
No. The thing is that Islam teaches us how to think about
exactly,
that God.
Exactly. The means of.
The meaning of that God.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is what I meant by giving you the example of the caravan.
Exactly.
And the leader.
Exactly. And this is what Imam Khomeini...
Brother, this is very important while we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the when you talk about the history of Islam, true Islam.
Yes.
We only have one Islam.
Mm.
We don't have so many of them.
Yeah.
The story goes with what happened after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes.
Same thing. Hey,
caravan
got to that point after 20 years of hardship that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, went through.
23 years. Yes.
You know, 10 years in Mecca and 13 years after migration to Medina.
Yes,
after Hijra.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it feasible?
Mm.
This is my question to you.
Yeah.
I need you to elaborate on this.
Sure, sure.
Because it's not, you know, that I say so.
Mm.
We're talking about reasoning here, logic.
Yes.
Is it feasible to think that at this particular point of the caravan of Muslims at the time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought them to this point and said, hey, after here, you're on your own. Is it feasible to think?
No.
This is my question.
No, it's not.
I'd like to hear more from you.
Well, the thing
what
is...
What happened?
Well, I mean, we don't need to go far.
You talk about sincerity in intention.
No, we don't need to go far because...
You talk about purity in intention and sincerity.
Yeah, we don't need to go far because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, even in that 13 years, while he was in Medina... establishing the principles and the foundations of the Tawheed of Islam, he points out two things, two very important things that he keeps emphasizing on. There are so many...
On so many different occasions.
Yeah, occasions.
And in one particular one, in detail, that everything is written about it. And
right.
So many different narrations talking about it.
I mean, the thing is that at the end of the day, we have so many verses in the Quran which refer to this point, that... He says in a tradition that my family, these infallibles, these 12 infallibles, holy infallibles who will follow after me, they are the ship of the Ark of Nu.
This is only example.
This is only
in
example.
In order to think.
You think. But the Quran says, the Holy Quran says, after the last khutbah is given in the Hajj, it's given to him as an order that say to them now,
that if you don't do that...
If you don't do this particular thing...
It's just like
thing,
you didn't do the whole thing.
You didn't do the whole thing. And I'll save you from the kafirun.
Mm-hmm.
The
I
word
protect
is,
you.
Yeah, I protect
this
you
is
from
what
the...
You're talking about source... Brother, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
What happened after Prophet? Where did they go wrong?
Exactly.
What went wrong?
What went wrong?
Because they disconnected themselves from the source because of...
Mm.
Look at the mentality.
Yes.
Because they felt like they don't need it.
Yeah, they felt
the same thing happened with Christianity Jewish faith.
Excuse me, may I make that quote? What does it say in Arabic? They say that the Holy Quran is enough for us.
Hasbuna kitab Allah.
Hasbuna kitab Allah.
Quran is enough for us.
Yeah.
But Quran has to have a teacher, according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
This is the story of very good, important subject and